All right, welcome to the final class in this series that we've been experiencing for a good long period of time, reviewing our Constitution, the Ecclesial Guide, how they merge together, where does the information come from one to the other. So you've heard many things throughout the whole year, and this is just kind of the wrap-up piece of it. So we have the system and rules embodying all the foregoing suggestions. This is from the Ecclesial Guide. So some of the things you'll see in here don't exactly match what we do. And you'll find out in the very last slide that you can change it as long as you do it with the Ecclesia's approval in that aspect. So the point here is that we are a Christadelphian Ecclesia, that we accept and profess the doctrines and precepts of Christ as taught in the apostolic writings and defined in the annexed statement of faith and epitome of the commandments of Christ. Those are both in the Ecclesial Guide. If you haven't looked at it a while back, Josh printed out the epitome of the commandments of Christ. I think there's still some sitting on the table if you haven't looked at it. And, of course, we know what the statement of faith looks like as well. That we recognize as brethren and welcome to our fellowship all who have been immersed by whomsoever after their acceptance of the same doctrines and precepts. Those that have confessed their faith to be true, according to the understandings we have from the apostolic writings. It doesn't specify who specifically to be immersing them, but immersing is obviously completely covered by water, a baptism. It's not a sprinkling. We had that in our class very clearly. That we meet on the morning of every first day of the week for the breaking of bread, worship, and exhortation, and in the evening for the exhibition of the truth and its invitation to the alien to become fellow heirs of the hope of the gospel. Also on the evening of one day in the week for the study of the holy oracles when the meeting is not otherwise engaged. Also that we meet once a quarter to receive and consider the reports of the serving brethren and at special meetings as may be required, the third quarterly meeting of the year to also be the annual meeting for the appointment of serving brethren. That was the suggested process. As you notice, we have some slight differences from that, but mostly pretty close. That we mutually engage to submit to the order and arrangements preferred by the greater number. It's not a dictatorship in any shape or form. It's what does the Ecclesia wish to do? How do they wish to have events take place? That we agree to talk about things working through. That brethren holding offices among us shall be described as serving brethren, and that the denomination of each particular office shall have brother or brethren associated with it for the sake of preserving the family character of our assembly in harmony with the mind of Christ. He there is serving, not directing, it's not controlling, it's serving the Ecclesia. That in the appointment of these, we shall have in view and strive always to follow the directions given by Paul as to the qualifications that ought to exist. Everybody remembers there were a whole list of qualifications and personality the individual should have for conducting the offices. That our serving brethren shall consist of 7 arranging brethren and 4 presiding brethren, a recording brother, a finance brother, 6 doorkeeping brethren, 2 visiting brethren, and 3 assistance brethren. The function of the assistance brethren is to investigate and relieve cases of need. We have the basic style of that for our own Ecclesia. The numbers are slightly different just due to the quantity of persons that are in the Ecclesia itself. Now these shall be appointed for 4 years, except that each year a 4th part of the whole, made into one list, shall retire, first alphabetically and afterwards in the order of their appointment. As we went through our classes on that, the intention was to share the responsibilities among all involved. You wouldn't have any one person in any one position for any too long period of time. So you get different perspectives and everybody learns how to serve. Again, with our quantity of persons in here, it's a little more difficult. That any brother may be elected for any number of times who has not lost the scriptural qualifications. That was fairly easy to understand. That the mode of election shall be by ballot, before which there must be a nomination in writing, signed by 7 brethren and handed to the recording brother, to be read by him at the weeknight meeting 14 days before the declaration of the ballot. There shall be no canvassing for votes. Votes obtained by canvassing shall be invalid. Nomination shall not be necessary in the case of retiring brethren, whose previous service shall stand in lieu of nomination. All names nominated, together with the names of retiring brethren who have served for the previous year, shall be submitted in a printed voting form to the brethren and sisters, who shall be required to write the word yes after the names of those brethren whom they desire to be appointed. They may write no after any other name or names if they please, but it is not compulsory. The election will take place in the case of those having the highest number of votes. In all elections of serving brethren by vote, it shall require the voice of at least 1/3 of those voting before a brother be considered appointed to any office. In case of failure of election, in any case, from the application of this rule, or from any other cause, the brother or brethren serving during the previous year to fill the vacancy until such time as a further election can be made. Our own process, you see, is fairly close to that. Again, we don't have the numbers of persons to quite follow it exactly. So throughout the years, Ecclesiastes made changes to our own constitution that works for us. That the function of the arranging brethren shall be to arrange for the conduct of the meetings and decide all matters affecting the working of the ecclesia. And we had a fairly lengthy class on the arranging brethren and their role and purpose. It's just a refresher reminder. That they meet once a month and as much oftener as they may find necessary. That all their meetings be announced to the ecclesia, that the brethren and sisters be at liberty to attend and to take part in the deliberations that may take place, but to have no vote in the decisions that may be taken. That part we do follow very carefully. All the AB meetings are announced. Anyone's welcome to come, listen, be in the discussions. That their decisions shall have immediate effect, but may be reversed by the ecclesia at the quarterly meeting. Only, however, insofar as they affect the future. That the arranging brethren shall, by the recording brother, read the minutes of their proceedings every 3 months to the brethren and sisters in quarterly meeting assembled, for confirmation or otherwise. At present, we just do an annual reading of all the minutes from the AB meetings. That's all subject to the ecclesia's choice. That the recording brother and finance brother shall attend all the meetings of the arranging brethren and have the power to vote in their decisions. That is what we do. That the presiding brethren shall do duty week by week in alphabetical rotation or provide substitutes from their own number. The brother presiding on Sunday to preside at all meetings during the subsequent week. The duties of the presiding brethren to be limited to the conduct of the assemblies. That is pretty much how we operate our presiding brothers. That the recording brother shall keep a record of all the proceedings of the ecclesia, receive and communicate all applications intended for the ecclesia or the arranging brethren, remind the ecclesia of meetings to be held or other matters affecting them, and presiding brethren and speakers of their several appointments. Take note of all monies received by the finance brother and sign orders as his authority for disbursements, and generally to keep the working machinery of the ecclesia in motion. We do most of those things out there. Our finance brother can write his own checks, though. That's the only difference. that the finance brother shall receive and disperse the funds accruing in any way to the ecclesia with the cooperation and cognizance of the secretary and report quarterly to the ecclesia for confirmation. That the following order be observed at our first day meetings. In the morning, singing, reading two of the scripture selections for the day by the Bible Companion, an interval for brief fraternal announcements, prayer, singing, exhortation, not to exceed half an hour, breaking bread, and drinking wine. After thanks by the presiding brother for each. Collection, singing, exhortation, not to exceed a quarter of an hour, singing, prayer. In the evening, singing, reading, prayer, singing, lecture, singing, and prayer. Those you may note, we've modified a little bit for our own actions here. But in part, a lot of it is covered in the same manner. Number 22, that no business be introduced for consideration at any Sunday meeting, that the door always be closed during scripture readings or prayer, so as to not affect the concentration of those all involved, not have disturbance. Number 23, that special meetings may be convened by the recording brother at the request of the arranging brethren, or by the written requisition of 10 brethren. At all such meetings, it shall require a fourth part of the ecclesia to form a quorum. Again, we do have special meetings that are convened at times. We can't really go by 10 brethren. That'd be every single one here. Very tough in that matter. Numbers are always difficult. But if there's an issue that's brought to any of the arranging brothers, they're always discussed and worked through, and meetings are convened as needed. So we do comply with the intent of that. Number 24, that all applications for immersion or admission must be reported to the recording brother, whose duty it shall be to announce the same to the ecclesia at the first Sunday morning meeting thereafter, and to make arrangements for the preliminary examination necessary. The result of such examination to be announced on the following Sunday, after which, in the absence of objection, immersion, or admission to take place. This rule not to apply to persons from a distance passing on. And that we pretty much comply with it exactly as written. Number 25, that in each district, a brother chosen by the brethren residing therein shall act as visiting brother, whose duty it shall be to communicate at least once a fortnight with brethren absent from the table, with a view to ascertain the cause of the absence, and administer comfort in cases of sickness, and aid in cases of poverty. Such visiting brother to report on Sunday morning anything coming under his notice, which the ecclesia ought to know. The appointment of visiting sisters may also be found serviceable. We do have a visiting brother and sister. I'm not sure that they report on Sunday mornings what their findings were for the week, but they do let their information be known in that aspect. Number 26, that four brethren be appointed to confer in conjunction with the recording brother with persons applying to be immersed or admitted into the ecclesia, with a view to ascertaining if the requisite qualifications exist. For someone new for baptism, we do have an interview group that meets, discusses with a person to ensure their understanding of the truth. And in case of a transfer, we do have the arranging brothers to get together and meet with the individual to have a discussion. Number 27, that all funds and property belonging to the ecclesia shall legally vest in the arranging brethren for the time being, as trustees for the general body, to whose direction they shall at all times be subject as to the disposal thereof. So we went through our classes earlier. They're responsible for ensuring the ecclesia has what it needs to operate. And they're the ones that deal with towns and facilities around for the facility like we have here. Make sure that the place is there, taxes are paid, insurance is covered, all those pieces of the puzzle. Number 28, that any brother holding any office in the ecclesia may be removed at any time by the vote of the majority of the whole of the ecclesia. Number 29, behavior unworthy of the name of Christ. Looking at 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, which we'll do in just a minute, shall, when proved against any brother, have the effect of canceling any appointment such brother may hold, without a vote of the ecclesia, and the appointment shall in that case be treated as vacant, and steps taken to fill it. Now what does 1 Timothy 3 say? It is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop, then, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine nor striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the ecclesia of God? Not a novice, lest he be lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Very carefully describes the character of an individual to be involved. And let these also first be proved. This is continuing on. Let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree, and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the ecclesia of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And looking at Titus 1, its comments on the similar character of an individual. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, "The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies." This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men, that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and to every good work reprobate. Pretty clear definitions of characters of individuals who want to hold offices. Continuing on, number 30, that any brother departing from any element of the one faith shall, on proof of the fact being given to the satisfaction of the arranging brethren, cease to be in fellowship without a formal vote of withdrawal, on the fact being announced to the ecclesia. Number 31, that no accusation or matter of evil report against any brother shall be listened to in public or private until the brother, bringing or reporting the accusation, shall have taken the course prescribed in Matthew 18, verses 15 to 18. And any brother refusing to take this course while persisting in his accusation or in alienation on account of it shall himself be considered and dealt with as an offender against the law of Christ. But what does Matthew 18, 15, 18 tell us? Moreover, if any brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the ecclesia. But if he neglect to hear the ecclesia, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. But if he tells us someone has an issue with somebody, go talk to them, deal with it. Again, we went through all these things very carefully in great detail. Number 32. That absence from the established assembly of the brethren for the breaking of bread is an offense against the law of Christ, unless the said assembly shall, by the approval of the majority thereof, expressed in formal vote, reject any element of the truth of the gospel, or shall sanction doctrines or practices inconsistent with the commands of Christ. In other words, you can't just sit home and say, "I don't want to come. It's not a good place for me today." I make every effort to get to meetings, break bread, unless you have, you're physically absent or ill. It's one of the commandments of Christ to break bread. Number 33, that none shall, even for a legitimate cause, absent themselves from the assembly without first stating, in writing, to be addressed to the recording brother, the cause or causes of impending separation, and ask the same to be considered, with a view to their removal, at a special meeting, at which they consent to be present and take part. So that one's clear on its own. Number 34, that no brother or sister withdraw from, by, or out of fellowship with another ecclesia shall be received in fellowship until the case shall have been investigated and found such as to warrant the reception of the said brother or sister. but that this investigation shall not take place without first asking the said other ecclesia to take part in the proposed investigation. That if the said other ecclesia shall refuse their cooperation in the said investigation, the matters in question shall be investigated without them. That if, on the other hand, they consent to take part in it, they shall, after the reinvestigation conducted in their presence, have equal voting power with the first ecclesia, and that no decision shall be valid without the concurrence of the majority of the assembly, so constituted of the two ecclesias fused together in equality of numbers. If one ecclesia exceed the other in number, equality to be obtained by counting off alphabetically the excess on whichever side it may be, and not allowing that excess to vote. What a complex situation that must be at times. Fortunately, we don't have to run into this too often. It is something that I've seen in my tenure with this ecclesia, so it does happen. But that, our process is still very similar to what's described here as a proposed way of handling business. Ours is not that far different. Number 35, that in case of another ecclesia, after either of these processes, receiving into their fellowship any brother or sister from whom we have withdrawn, or whom we may have separated from us, or who may have separated from us, we shall not consider it a cause of separation from them, but shall be content to maintain our own withdrawal from the brother or sister in question. Should they, on the other hand, receive such without reinvestigation or without asking our concurrence in any reinvestigation that may take place, we ourselves shall apply to the said ecclesia for reinvestigation in the form defined by the last rule. And only in case of their refusal shall we consider that their action in the case had furnished a cause of separation. Very confusing when you read through it and a lot of these matters in that aspect. Again, these are the suggestions for the modes of operating ecclesia. Also, be sure to read our own constitution, which has refinements to all these things for how we actually operate here. Number 36, that marriage with the alien is an offense against the law of Christ, that those who maintain the contrary are unfit for fellowship with those who consent to the wholesome words of the Lord Jesus. That when offense takes place in the matter, the ecclesia may signify their disapproval by resolution sent to the offending brother or sister, after which the brother or sister shall only retain their place among the brethren by admitting their offense. All communication in the case to be in the form of and the spirit required by Rule 31. Don't jump out and marry somebody outside the truth. You don't have to deal with any of these things. Number 37, that any Sunday school established in connection with the ecclesia shall be under the official cognizance thereof, the ecclesia to elect annually a superintendent, secretary, and treasurer, who shall appoint the teachers, and in conjunction with them, manage the school in matters of detail. Any brother shall have the power of appeal to a special meeting of the ecclesia in case of objection to the acts, proceedings, or arrangements of the superintendent and teachers. I wish we had an ecclesia large enough to have all those numbers of persons in different positions. We don't quite have that many. That none of the foregoing rules be altered except by the vote of the majority of the whole ecclesia, and a month's previous notice of intention to propose such alteration must be given to the recording brother, who shall read the same at each intervening week-night meeting. That's the end of what's written in the ecclesial guide for their summary of the year. As we've gone through this past year plus of all the classes, gone through it, we've gone through great detail of what our constitution says, what the ecclesial guide says, how they merge together, at what points there's some slight differences. As you see from here, any of these rules can be altered by the wish of the ecclesia, which over the decades has changed the one that we have a little bit. But the point is to know what was originally proposed, what do we have today, what's working, what's not. And it's the ecclesia that has the power of change. Those in serving positions are just that, serving the ecclesia. So you can't just sit and point fingers at everybody else in that aspect. If you have an issue with something, please bring it up and make sure it's talked about. Yes, the arranging brothers are looking over the ecclesia as a whole, but they don't have the thoughts in the minds of everybody that's in the ecclesia. So please feel free to speak to any of the ABs at any time. It's not a scary bunch, I promise you. That brings me to the end of the class. What issues do you have?